Hey everybody, Nick Espinoza, your chief security fanatic here, and it is Sunday, so we are doing Breaches of the Week. And this week in data breaches was absolutely insane. Some huge names here, no time to lose, but thank you very much to Jacqueline Wolf, Miranda Hutchins, Haley Sordos, Michael Inovi, and Derek Porst for sending me this information. Please keep sending those tips my way. And let's start huge with JPMorgan Chase, because more than 451,000 plan participants basically were impacted by a data breach in which their personal information was exposed, according to a regulatory filing, but to Maine's Attorney General. Now, the participant information that was exposed was participants' names, addresses, social security numbers, payment and deduction amounts, as well as bank routing and account numbers if the participants had set up direct deposit. Now, the breach was not part of a cyber attack, according to the JP Morgan spokesperson. A notice of data breach basically that they submitted to Maine on February 26th, they say that they learned of a software issue that caused certain reports run by three authorized system users to include plan participant information that those users were not allowed to see. Those three users were employed by JP Morgan customers or their agents, according to the notice. So by virtue of that, it's not a massive, it's been dumped out in the dark web, but nevertheless, a breach is a breach, and JP Morgan, a little bit of a black eye. Moving on, I want to give you an update on the massive United Health breach update. And honestly, it's pretty head-shaking, because remember, one-third of all pharmacy patients in the entire United States were affected by this, including family members of mine. Now, during an hours-long congressional hearing, essentially the CEO of UnitedHealthcare told lawmakers that the company had not yet determined how many patients and healthcare professionals were impacted by Change Healthcare, which they own, back in February. Now, the hearing focused on how the attackers are able to gain access to Change Healthcare. That's a separate division of United Health. And essentially, they were acquired. Change was acquired in October of 2022. So members of the House Energy and Commerce Committee asked the CEO, Andy Witty, why the nation's largest healthcare insurer did not have the basic cybersecurity safeguards in place prior to the attack. Quote, Change Healthcare was a relatively older company with older technologies, which we had been working to upgrade since the acquisition. But for some reason, we continue to investigate this. As we continue to investigate, this particular server did not have MFA or multi-factor authentication on it. In other words, they got hit because one of the most basic security controls these days, multi-factor authentication, was not on that server, which could have helped thwart the attackers. Now, I understand the acquisition. They're running older technology. I have been through M&A on the cybersecurity side before. It is never fun, especially when you're bringing an older organization up to code like this. And so while I'm not giving United Healthcare a pass, there has to be priorities on the risk side. And those are things that you should be doing in the acquisition phase in terms of due diligence before you understand that. So when you're hitting the gate, basically to secure them right out of the gate, and here we are. Now, if this breach or the attackers have made persistence before the acquisition, then they may not necessarily have known that because maybe the older technology didn't detect the threat. But nevertheless, it's a huge mess. Moving on, let's talk about Dropbox. You probably have a Dropbox account, even if you're not using Dropbox, because somebody may have shared something with Dropbox on you. Most people know who Dropbox is, and they reported that an attacker breached their systems on April 24th and gained access to sensitive information like passwords and more. Now, in a filing with the SEC this past Wednesday afternoon, the company said it discovered unauthorized access to their production environment for Dropbox Sign. Now, Dropbox Sign was formerly HelloSign, and Dropbox acquired them in 2019. Now, the attacker accessed the information related to all of the users of Dropbox Sign, including account settings, names, and emails. For some users, phone numbers, hashed passwords, and authentication information, such as API keys, OAuth tokens, and MFA methods, were also exposed. Quote, based on what we know as of the date of this filing, there is no evidence a threat actor accessed the contents of user accounts, such as their agreements or templates. There you go. Quote, additionally, we believe this incident was limited to Dropbox Sign infrastructure, and there is no evidence that the threat actor accessed the product environments of other Dropbox products. We are continuing to investigate. So heads up to you, if you use Dropbox Sign for all your online signing needs, never a good look. Dropbox themselves have had data breaches in the past. I've reported on those as well. Moving on, it's time for our mini segment simply entitled, If You Just Paid for Cybersecurity, You Wouldn't Have Your Reputation Damaged and You Wouldn't Be Getting Sued. First up on the block is good news for the American Bar Association, or ABA, because this past Tuesday, they won their bid to toss out a proposed class action over a 2023 data breach that exposed the personal information of about 1.5 million lawyers and others as well. A New York federal judge on Tuesday granted basically the National Lawyer Group's motion to dismiss the case, finding the plaintiffs did not have enough evidence to support their claims. The ABA last year said that an unauthorized third party penetrated their network and took the names and passwords for online accounts used to access an old ABA website and its career center before 2018. The plaintiffs, Tiffany Troy of New York and Eric John Matta of Texas, are both registered ABA members and have made purchases from the organization, according to the lawsuit. They claim their membership and purchases create an implied contract with the ABA for the quote-unquote adequate protection of their personal data and accuse the group of failing to follow industry standards to protect customers' personal information. This is what happens when lawyers sue lawyers. Now, in Tuesday's filing, U.S. District Judge Nicholas Garufas in Brooklyn said the plaintiffs did not identify what type of security measures the ABA failed to implement to protect their personal data under the alleged implied contract. The judge also dismissed Troy and Matta's state consumer protection claims. The decision was issued without prejudice, which means they could refile, or a version of their lawsuit could be refiled as well. So heads up to you if you're ABA. And full disclosure, I actually spoke at an ABA national event earlier this year, so I kind of consider them a bit of a client. Moving on, let's talk about the state of Oregon. Yes, the entire state, because a pair of Oregonians, have filed a lawsuit that could force the state to pay up to the tune of many millions of dollars for a massive international data breach last year, basically that victimized 3.5 million Oregon residents whose driver's license and ID card information was stolen. The plaintiffs, Carrie Evangelist, interesting last name, and Brian Ells, are seeking class action status for all affected state residents whose information, including name, address, date of birth, last four digits of social, height, weight, were hacked in a May 2023 Russian by a Russian cyber gang. And essentially, this filing is in Marion County Circuit Court in Oregon. This actually stems from the MoveIt data breach. So there's your MoveIt update for the week. Moving on. California North State University. They failed to protect the personal information of thousands of current and former students that was exposed in a February 2023 ransomware attack. That is according to the proposed federal class action. Now, Erica Titus Lay, a former worker at the school, alleged that the university failed to implement reasonable and effective measures to protect sensitive data, properly train its employees, comply with industry data standards security, security standards, or give timely, adequate notices on data breaches. Information exposed for her and others were name, social security, date of birth, physical address, email address, and W-2s as well. That's the tax form for employees. So that obviously is a huge thing. And those were your lawsuits or dismissals of the week. And again, if you just spent money on cybersecurity, you wouldn't be getting sued. Moving on, back to regular breaches, let's talk about major airsoft game host and equipment renter Airsoft C3. So heads up, Airsoft community, because the sensitive data of 75,000 individuals that are part of its enthusiast community website were compromised thanks to a Google Cloud storage misconfiguration. This included 12 gigabytes in a file that had basically, which was a database backup that was exfiltrated by threat actors. And so we're talking about usernames and hash passwords, email and home address, phone numbers, social media links, posts, and personal emails for other users, as well as the credentials of the founders and admins of the platform. So if you're big into Airsoft and you have anything to do with Airsoft C3, you definitely want to check in. Moving on, let's talk about Ortho Connecticut. On April 26th, they filed with the Attorney General of Massachusetts after discovering an unauthorized party accessed their confidential information. We're talking name, social security, and medical record information. They are sending out letters to those affected. Moving on, and here's an interesting one. Let's talk about Bitfinex. Now, their chief technology officer, or CTO, Paolo Adorino, is basically casting skepticism on claims circulated on social media that their exchange was the subject of a large-scale data breach, done by the F Society hacking group, as claimed on April 26. Quote, "We're performing deep analysis of our systems, and no breach was found currently." That's Adorino, basically writing on X, formerly Twitter, that basically stated also that fewer than one quarter of the email addresses supposedly stolen and published so far have anything to do with Bitfinex's servers. So the hacking group F Society, which is styled after the fake hacking group from the television show Mr. Robot, still need to see that for the record, claimed unsuccessful hacks on several victims on its dark web homepage on April 26, including Rutgers University, consulting firm SBC Global, and crypto exchange CoinMoMa, or Mama, I guess, likely a misspelling of CoinMama. So there you go. Heads up to you. But if you use Bitfinex, you might want to keep an eye on that one. Moving on. Let's talk about Designed Receivable Solutions. Sounds like a debt collector or a billing company. Anyway, they recently confirmed the details of a data breach of the Office of Civil Rights. So healthcare, here we go. And the health protected health information of 129,584 individuals essentially were in the HHS filing, but their filing for Maine said they were affecting 498,686 individuals. So obviously a huge jump. Now, on January 22nd of this year, they identified suspicious activity within their network. Third-party specialists were engaged to investigate, and the investigation confirmed an unauthorized access. Actor accessed its systems and viewed exfiltrated data on its systems on March 8th, 2024. After they reviewed the files, DRS confirmed that this was protected health information and began filing. So if your medical whatever uses Design Receivable Solutions or DRS for their billing or collection needs, you might want to check in. Now let's talk about another American debt collection agency known as Financial Business and Consumer Solutions, or FBCS. Very, very official. Now they sent a data breach notification letter to affected customers explaining that unauthorized third parties accessed their systems on February 14th of this year, and they were basically persistent until February 26th. Now, during those 2 weeks, unnamed attackers harvested sensitive information on almost 2 million people, 1,955,385. We're talking full name, social security, date of birth, account information, driver's license, and ID card numbers as well. All affected individuals are U.S. citizens. So if you're in debt and FBCS, Financial Business and Consumer Solutions, are coming after you, you might get money back. Here's hoping. Moving on, let's talk about Continuum Health, because on April 29th, they filed with Maine after discovering confidential information belonging to the patients of Consensus Medical Group was leaked as a result of the Continuum data breach. Now, as a result of this notice, Continuum explained that the incident resulted in unauthorized party being able to access sensitive information, name, social security, date of birth, health insurance information, medical information, phone numbers. Continuum is now sending out letters on behalf of themselves and Consensus Medical Group. So heads up to you. Moving on, let's talk about Panda Express. This is the Chinese food McDonald's, I guess, if you will. We've got them here across the United States. Your country may have them too, because the Panda Restaurant Group, parent company of Panda Express, Panda Inn, and Hibachi-san, revealed that attackers obtained the personal data of an unknown number of employees. Panda said the breach was in early March and affected only its corporate systems, not its in-store operations. So if you've eaten at one of these places, you should be okay. Now, the data exposed consisted of first and last name and either driver's license or non-driver identification cards of current and former employees. So if you've ever worked at a Panda Express or Panda property, heads up to you. Moving on, let's head on up to Canada and talk about the libraries in British Columbia, the entire province, apparently, of British Columbia. Libraries in British Columbia have been targeted by an attacker who threatened to release user data if a ransom was not paid. The BC Libraries Cooperative said in a statement this past Monday that on April 19, it was contacted by an attacker attempting to extort payment using private information taken from its servers. The cooperative provides, for the record, library systems for multiple institutions around the entire province. Now, it said the attacker accessed log file data from its new cloud hosting infrastructure, and upon review, quote-unquote, minimal data from its email server was obtained. Quote, we determined that no passwords for any content nor any content of emails, neither subject line nor message contents, were stolen, according to the statement. So heads up to you, and hopefully the libraries in the province are okay. Moving on. Let's head down under to, I believe, Australia's largest air carrier, Qantas. Qantas Airways said this past Wednesday they were investigating issues impacting their frequent flyer application after media reports suggested there was a data breach following users' access to others' passengers' information. So if you're a Qantas member, you logged in, you saw somebody else's. Now, multiple local media outlets citing Qantas customers are reporting that some users can see strangers' full travel information, with at least one user being able to cancel somebody else's ticket. That's not good. I'd hate to be the guy that got canceled on. Quote, "We're urgently working to resolve the issue impacting the Qantas app this morning." That's what the carrier said on their website. I continue, "We're investigating whether this issue may have been caused by a recent system change." They did not provide any further information. It's very possible somebody made a change to the programming that is exposing one passenger's or member's information to another. Hopefully that's easily correctable. I've been caught up in one of those myself. It's never, ever fun. Moving on. Let's talk about Marriott, the hotel chain, and this totally sucks, but yeah, we kind of knew the entire time for the most part, because my God, if it's a week goes by and Marriott isn't breached, I don't know what's going on. All right, so for more than 5 years, Marriott has defended its massive 2018 data breach. I literally stayed in a Marriott, for the record, like in the last like couple of weeks due to all of my travels, like one of their properties. So, I mean, I'm fully on record here, you know, being in Marriott, and you name the hotel chain, I've stayed in them all in the last year given my travel. But for more than 5 years, my God, Marriott has defended a massive 2018 data breach by arguing that its encryption level, AES 128, was so good and strong that the case should be dismissed. But, and I didn't put this in the mini segment because I think this one deserves more attention. So the attorneys for Marriott admitted in an April 10th hearing that they had never used AES 128 during the time of the breach. So they keep saying, oh yeah, everything's encrypted with AES 128, which is known good encryption, it's FIPS compliant, et cetera, et cetera. But they hadn't. In fact, they hadn't been using any encryption at all at the time, but they had rather been using a hash algorithm known as SHA-1, which is a hashing mechanism, not actually encryption. And so SHA-1, for the record, has been deprecated. We no longer use it because it's been cracked. So during the hearing of the U.S. District Court for the District of Maryland Southern Division, Judge John Preston Bailey ordered Marriott to correct any information on its website within 7 days. Marriott did not issue a news press release, nor did it flag the change on its homepage. Instead, and this is sneaky, it added two sentences to a page on its website from January 4th, 2019, over 5 years ago. And the only way that you or anybody would actually see it is if you clicked on the five-year-old page. Now, the two-sentence update reads, quote, "Following an investigation with several leading data security experts, Marriott initially determined that the payment card numbers and certain passport numbers in the database involved in the Starwood database security incident that Marriott reported on November 30, 2018, were protected using Advanced Encryption Standard 128 Encryption, AES 128. Marriott has now determined that the payment card numbers and some of the passport numbers in those tables were instead protected with a different cryptographic method known as Secure Hash Algorithm 1 or SHA-1. So, there you go. And quite frankly, any kind of quote unquote expert they would have had back in 2018 or, 2019 would have totally seen, yeah, this is a hashing. This is not encryption. Two different animals. And SHA-1, again, now crackable and deprecated. So that's not doing much help. Hopefully they're on SHA-2 or better. So with that, let's move on. WebTPA is next up on the chopping block. On April 26, WebTPA Employer Services LLC filed a notice with California after discovering that the company had experienced a data breach affecting information belonging to Gerber Life Insurance Company, aka Gerber Life. That's one of the big ones. Now, in this notice, WebTPA explained that basically an unauthorized party was able to get access Gerber Life customer information, don't have a listing of what that info is, and now WebTPA is sending out breach notifications. So if you have a Gerber Life Insurance policy, check in. And with that, let's go to the final for this week, because this one is the stuff of nightmares, I think, but it's really an indicator of, I think, where we're going and the problems that we're going to be facing with things like biometric information. We're going to go down under for this one. And quite frankly, this could happen anywhere. But Australia, this really sucks, especially because I know you love booze. Now, here's what's going on. We are talking about a company called Outabox. That's one word, Outabox. This is an Australian company that scans faces for bars and clubs. So you're walking into a bar, it may have Autoscan, and they are essentially scanning you as they are coming in. Social reputation scores, all that kind of stuff. But here's what's going on. Police and federal agencies are responding to a massive data breach of personal data linked to a facial recognition scheme that was implemented in bars and clubs across all of Australia. Now, the incident highlights emerging privacy concerns as AI-powered facial recognition becomes more widely used everywhere, from shopping malls to sporting events. The affected company, as I mentioned, is Outabox. They also, for the record, do have offices in the U.S. and the Philippines as well. Now, in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, Outabox debuted a facial recognition kiosk that scans visitors and checks their temperatures. These kiosks can also be used to identify problem gamblers who have enrolled in a self-exclusion initiative. In other words, let's say you don't want to gamble anymore and you're trying to clean it up. Good for you, by the way. You put yourself in there. And so if you try to, let's say, relapse and go into a gambling establishment, they see it on face and say, hey, Nick, you've been told, or you've told us to kick you out, that kind of thing. Now, this past week, a website called Have I Been Outaboxed emerged, claiming to be set up by a former Outabox developer out of the Philippines. Now, the website asks visitors to enter their name to check whether their information has been included in a database of Outabox data, which the site alleges had lax internal controls and was shared in an unsecured spreadsheet. It claims to have more than 1 million records, meaning they were dumping this information like Excel, and boom. I mean, portable info, there you go. Now, this incident has rankled privacy experts who have long set off alarm bells over the creep of facial recognition in public places such as clubs and casinos. I've done videos, radio segments, podcasts on this regarding the essential de facto social score that we're building with these companies. Quote, sadly, this is a horrible example of what can happen as a result of implementing privacy invasive facial recognition systems, end quote. That's according to Samantha Floriani, who is a head of policy for the Australia-based privacy and security nonprofit Digital Rights Watch, talking to Wired, the publication where I'm cribbing this from, which I forgot to mention out of the gate. My apologies to Wired. Quote, when privacy advocates warn of the risks of associated with surveillance-based systems like this, data breaches are one of them, end quote. And absolutely, it's the same with DNA. I don't know why anybody would send their DNA into a private company that can potentially be breached or bought by a third party from a different country. I just don't get that. So, according to the Have I Been Outaboxed website, the data includes, quote, facial recognition, biometric, driver's license scan, signature, club membership data, address, birthday, phone number, club visit timestamps, slot machine usage, end quote. It also claimed Outabox exported the, quote, entire membership data, end quote, of IGT. Now, IGT, I believe, is an American-based company. They're huge into gaming, and because they are a supplier of gaming equipment around the world, gaming machines. So IGT's vice president of global communications, Phil O'Shaughnessy, told Wired that, quote, the data affected by this incident has not been obtained from IGT, end quote, and that IGT would work with Outabox and law enforcement, because of course. Now, the website's owners posted a photo, signature, and redacted driver's license belonging to one of Outabox's founders, as well as a redacted screenshot of the alleged internal spreadsheet. Now, Wired, the publication, was unable to independently verify the identity of the website's owners or have the authenticity of this data verified, but they sent an email to the address that was not returned either. So clubs that are using Outabox's technology posted announcements about the incident and notified their respective clients this week. One person who posted a breach notification from a club they visited recounted their experience with Outabox, the facial recognition system. I quote, and I'll leave it at this. My fondest memory of this system is visiting a club and having it confidently match my face to a member that was clearly 20 plus years older than me and looked nothing like me. And there you go. So these are not fun. I am not a fan of having these facial recognition systems, not to mention the fact that these are the kinds of systems that, let's say, for whatever reason, you break up a fight in a bar, but you get flagged as well. You go to another bar. Now they think, well, you're violent when you weren't, those kinds of things. I mean, it's a huge issue. We'll see where this goes, but I am not a fan either way. And so heads up to you down under, or if Out-of-Box starts being used in the United States, maybe it'll happen here. Hopefully not, but heads up, it's no good for anybody. So that's the lesson of the week. Were you affected by any of these? Yeah, you probably were. And please like, share, follow me. Well, definitely Marriott. My God, like it's a continuous thing with them, isn't it? All right, I digress. And please like, share, follow me here on Facebook and Twitter at NickAESB. And please feel free to subscribe to me at YouTube as well. And as always, stay safe, stay online, and please attempt to stay private. Thanks, everybody.